everyone. Welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of July 7th. I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and sweltering Melissa Hansen.
Well, isn't everybody sweltering?
Oh my God, the weather is just insane.
Holy cannoli, it's like half the country is 100 degrees.
I know, it's weird.
But do you know what else is sweltering?
What?
Magic Mike.
Somebody showed you their Magic Mike?
Woo! So, no, I threatened to do it, and I did.
I went
to Magic Mike with my girlfriend, Christy.
Nice, and?
You know what? It's a Soderbergh movie.
Oh.
It's not just hot guys.
Okay.
Half naked.
All right.
You know, it's Steven Soderbergh directed it, and it's a Soderbergh movie. It's not just a stripper movie. Now, the problem is everybody went to it just to see hot guys. And then it turned into slightly romantic, slightly dramatic with humor. But, you know, it's really a character study of these couple guys. And so the theater Friday night, almost full, like even more than 3/4 full, almost completely full, and like 90% women at least. So there's, I mean, it takes place in a strip club. It's about these couple of strippers, male strippers, exotic dancers. And when they showed them doing the routines, you thought you were in a strip club. The women in the audience in the movie theater yelling and clapping, woohoo, baby, like that. Seriously. And then it got into some of the talky stuff. And women around me just started talking because they didn't care. Came to see like half naked men. And I'm like, why didn't you go to Chippendales then?
Right.
And then when it got really dramatic, because it got heavy drama in it, everybody was like dead silent. So I don't know if they were into it or they just didn't care or they were shocked that it became serious.
Wow.
I don't know. I really enjoyed it. It wasn't a perfect movie, but it was a really good movie.
Well, to be honest, I completely forgot it was Soderbergh who was directing it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, we talked about it briefly. It's kind of, it's produced by Channing Tatum. And it's based on his previous life as a, you know, adult male dancer.
Okay.
You know, before he became an actor.
Right.
And let me tell you, now I've only seen him in 21 Jump Street. His big breakout role was in Step Up, which is a dance movie.
Right.
But so I hadn't seen that, so I hadn't seen him dance. I seriously did not know the human body can move the way he moves his.
You're kidding me.
He is the most phenomenal dancer.
Huh.
And I'm not just talking pelvic thrust, you know, and ripping off pants. Like, he did hip-hoppy, breakdancey stuff that, seriously, I have never seen. He is amazing.
Well, that's interesting because Step Up is arriving on Blu-ray, or already has. Just came into the office this week. So
yeah, there you go. There are definitely passions on that.
Yeah.
But his acting, he is completely natural. And like I said, I saw him in 20 on Jump Street. He was hysterically funny in that. He is an amazing performer.
So do you think he's on the verge of breaking out to be an A-list star?
I think so. I think he's got the talent.
Huh.
And like I said, he's not just an actor, not just a dancer, whatever. He's got the it.
Okay. Wow.
Factor. And he is just a great performer. Yeah, he was amazing. It's mainly him. He plays an older dancer. And then Matthew McConaughey is the even older used to be dancer that runs this club. And then Alex Pettifer is young guy that Channing Tatum's character, Magic Mike, kind of takes under his wing and kind of gets him into the dancing. And but outside of there, kind of takes care of him, too.
All right.
And is trying to help him get his life together.
Hmm.
And then Cody Horn plays Adam, Alex's character's sister, and becomes the love interest for Channing Tatum. It's not just a rom-com. It's even more romantic drama, too, even though there's lots of comedy in it and lots of good lines. But Cody Horn plays the love interest. Now, she really, really reminded me of the Schwanker.
No kidding.
Hillary Swank. But Hillary is a really good actor.
Okay, Cody is not.
So, and not so much. She actually is the daughter of Alan Horn, who's heading up like Disney now, right? And he's worked for a bunch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's a big studio head.
Okay.
So I think that's how she's gotten the business.
Yeah, he used to be the president of Warner Brothers.
Yes. And she's done a few other movies and stuff, but she wasn't horrible, but she wasn't anything great. Olivia Munn is the other kind of female in the movie. And I would have loved to see them even switch roles. I would have loved to see what Olivia did with kind of the lead female role.
Okay.
Because she was much more interesting in the shorter amount of time she was on screen.
Huh.
But, so, you know, those of you looking for half-naked men, you get it. You get it, for sure. There's dancing, there's stripping, there's close-ups of all body parts. You get to see Matthew McConaughey's butt. You get to see everybody's butt, really. And the other guys, the other dancers are Adam Rodriguez from CSI Miami.
Gotcha.
Matt Bomer.
Yep, from White Collar.
White Collar.
And Chuck, he was the...
Yes. Yeah, he was on Chuck, too. And then, I'm going to butcher this, Joe Manganiello? Manganiello?
Mangiello, something like that.
Something.
Yeah.
Those of you that watch True Blood can tell me.
Yeah.
Because that's what he's known for, and I don't watch that. And then Kevin Nash, the wrestler.
No kidding.
Is the other stripper guy. Now, most of them are just, they're pretty much in the background, guys. They're dancing. You know, you don't get into their characters at all.
All right.
Matthew McConaughey's character you get into a little bit, and he's basically just McConaughey playing McConaughey to the nth degree.
Yeah.
And half his lines are, all right.
Nice.
And he actually does play the bongos.
Does he really? Naked?
No one's naked in this. There's a couple shots where you don't quite get the full Monty, but almost.
Wow.
Kind of stuff. But anyhow, no, it's mainly a drama with some humor in it. So it's not what you think. So if you're avoiding it, you may want to see it, and if you're seeing it just for, woohoo, it's going to be a fun time, it's not.
Well, I'm sure it's going to do extremely well on home media, whether it be DVD, Blu-ray, or streaming, because people can watch what they want and forget the rest. So.
Right. Yeah, I think it'll do well. But one side note.
Yeah.
Vulture.com actually has, if you go there and look, you know, search Magic Mike.
Yeah.
They have the nudity and graphs and charts.
Oh, my God.
And they do how much each actor has, like, screen time without a shirt. And where the nudity is in the timeline of the movie. And how many times everybody's seen a thong. And it's graphs and charts and stuff.
Oh, jeez.
So.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So and I think this is one of Steven Soderbergh's final films. He keeps saying he's going to retire from.
So we'll see if he actually does.
Making. Yeah.
We'll see if he actually does, but it's certainly not going to be Channing Tatum's. He's got like 10 things on IMDb as like projects he's working on and upcoming.
Strike when the iron's hot, baby.
And he's producing a lot of what he's doing. He produced Under Jump Street, he produced this. So he is being smart about stuff.
Yeah, good for him. Well, I'll tell you who else is being smart is our theater owners, because Avengers is still in the theater 2 months after it opened, and I finally went to see it. I was so afraid I was going to miss it. Here's the big Marvel Comics kid from way back who has not seen this movie, but finally went and saw it. Saw it in 2D because I refused to sit there with glasses on to watch a movie. And I liked it. You know, I wouldn't say I was blown away by it. I wouldn't say that any of the hype surrounding it spoiled it. It was good. I mean, I love Joss Whedon. I love the humor that he brings to things. This was the right cast. This was the right mix of people.
That's it. It was the Scarlet, but otherwise dead on.
Yeah.
Perfect cast in the individual roles and then them working together.
Yeah. I have a man crush on Chris Evans. I want to see more of what he does with Captain America.
No.
I have a crush
on Mark Ruffalo.
Mark Ruffalo was awesome in this film.
He was spot on perfect.
He was really the surprise highlight of this entire thing. I mean, we've seen Robert Downey Jr. do the Iron Man Tony Stark thing. I'm fine with that. It was more of the same.
He's good, but we've seen it.
We didn't get to see enough of Jeremy Renner. You had mentioned this.
No.
Because I like the Hawkeye character, and I like what they're doing with it. And I want to see more of Cap. But it was good. We got it to the point where it's Transformers, and you've got aliens flying all over the place, and some of it's really cool, you know, with the Fing Fang Foom, kind of these big, huge things that are like rocketing through New York City's monsters / transport ships. But it was the drama. They did really excellent character development with these people within a big CGI film.
Right.
little touches. You know, here Thor and Hulk are fighting side by side together. Boom, boom. They finally finish, relax, and then Hulk does this classic, punches him right off the side of the screen. Like, yes, a puny little twat. The other unsung hero in this film is Tom Hiddleston, who played Loki.
Yes.
Who just chewed scenery in Alan Rickman style every time he was on screen.
Oh, you know what? I hadn't thought of that, but he is, yeah. Especially with the way he looks in this movie with the dark, longer hair and stuff.
The way he carries himself.
Yeah. That's a really good comparison. I like that.
So it'll be interesting. I like the tag at the end. There were two tags, really. Yeah. The one that introduced the next villain, who is Thanos.
Right, but you know more about than I do, because you know the whole mythology.
Yeah, who is one of the... He's like the bringer of death in the entire Marvel Universe.
Okay.
And then just the little tag at the very end, and I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but it was...
Uh-huh.
It was just awesome. It was perfect.
You know? I talked about that before. They had something else.
Right.
They went back like a week before the thing opened and reshot something.
Yeah.
And did you notice Chris Evans, like, kind of covering his face?
I was looking for it, and I didn't... It wasn't... blatantly obvious that he looked very different.
He had his hand up.
Yeah. The other movie I went to see really quickly was Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
You did.
I did see it. And I enjoyed it for what it was.
Okay.
It was very inconsistent. So the Tim Burton's producing this, Timur Bemakov, I'm going to butcher his last name, but he did Wanted. He did the two Russian vampire films, Night Watch and Day Watch. Based on Seth Graham Smith's novel, it is brilliant because it takes the entire Lincoln mythos and drops in all of these, you know, his parents were killed by, or his mother was killed by a vampire, so he had this lust for vengeance throughout his life. But it takes you through the journey of Lincoln's life, and those of us who grew up in Illinois very much know the Lincoln story, and there's a whole chunk of it that takes place in Springfield. Alan Tudyk plays Stephen Douglas, which is brilliant. Mary Elizabeth Winstead plays Mary Todd Lincoln. And I kept waiting for them to tie in kind of the mental illness thing, which they didn't do.
Okay.
I don't know. It was good, but it was inconsistent because it wants to be this kind of really cool alternate universe historical story.
Right.
And then it also wants to be this really slick Quentin Tarantino-esque stylized action picture where
pick
there's
something people pick one thing and go with it.
And that was it. He couldn't establish his ground rules and stay in front of him. Lincoln got to be 65, 70, 80 years old, and he's swinging an axe like he did when he's 20. It just doesn't work.
Yeah. I can't take that kind of stuff. That totally just takes me out of the flick.
And that's what happened. It really did take me out. And just so you know, Harriet Tubman was the one who was responsible for winning the Civil War.
Well, good to know.
Yeah, good to know.
Yeah.
All right. Coming up this week at the box office, there's only two major films. Opening on the 3rd, actually Monday night, the 2nd at midnight, is Amazing Spider-Man.
Of course. Yeah.
Everything I've heard about it is it's a great film. It's a great new take. I read a quote from Joss Whedon the other day where he said, you know, that's fantastic. I just don't care anymore.
That's me. That's exactly like it looks good. The cast looks good. I mean, the people in it, I'm totally would be excited.
Yeah.
Except exactly like I just saw this.
Right.
Why are we going to redo this already? Right. Give it 5 more years, whatever.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm torn on it.
So we'll see. I mean, it's going to do gangbusters. I don't know if it's going to do Avengers kind of money. I don't think it will.
I don't think it will, because I think there's enough people like me and Joss Whedon.
Yeah. The other big film that's opening is Oliver Stone's Savages.
Yes.
Which really is him kind of doing, we talked about Quentin Tarantino, it's kind of him doing Quentin Tarantino with a dash of Natural Born Killers. It's Taylor Kitsch, it's Blake Lively, it's Benicio Del Toro, and it's Selma Hayek playing the cheesiest, most salacious villain I have seen from her ever.
Nice.
So
worth it for that right there.
Yeah, it might be. If you're not going to the movies this week, I don't see why you're not.
Wait, stop you.
What?
Seriously, I can't believe you're not mentioning this.
What?
That you missed that. I don't know how you missed this.
What?
Katy Perry's documentary, Part of Me, is opening up this week. Whoa.
Is it Seriously? In 3D IMAX?
Oh, goodness, I don't even want to know that.
Jeez.
But that opens this week, so I just didn't want to pass this up. All right.
Well, thank you for pointing out my oversight.
I didn't want you to miss it. Come on. I know you're going to be first in line.
Yeah, yeah, I'll be right there.
All right.
I'm going to go see Brave first, I think, and Moonrise Kingdom. So if you want to know what's coming out on DVD and Blu-ray this week, head over to DVDverdict.com, click on the upcoming releases tab for July 3rd, and we'll see what's on tap.
Yeah, well, one of Universal's big 100th anniversary, they're re-releasing a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Born on the 4th of July with Tom Cruise.
And how appropriate.
4th of July, and it's Tom Cruise in the Newsweek, so.
We got Jane Fonda's classic Barbarella coming to Blu-ray this week, which we mentioned a week or so ago that they're now developing for television.
Yeah, that should be interesting.
There's a movie here called God Bless America, which is actually Bobcat Goldthwait directing and Joel Murray starring.
Yeah, it looks interesting.
Yeah.
The Crying Game is coming out again.
Yeah, there's a lot of these studios are dumping a lot of older films.
Yeah, but it's on Amazon for like $7.
I saw it in the theater. I don't think I've seen it since.
Yeah, I saw it actually a couple times.
Whatever happened to Neil Jordan? Here was a director that was really going
places. Well, seriously, everybody in that movie, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Stephen Ray.
He hasn't done, he's worked, but he hasn't done that much. And then Jay Davidson disappeared, too.
That's true.
After being amazing in that.
That's true. Here's another.
If anybody knows where they are.
Yeah, let us know.
No, do we need to put their faces on a milk carton? Just checking.
Sitting with the Tom Cruise thing, you've got John Travolta's Phenomenon. So John's been in the news as well. So a little bit of a coincidence, or are we trying to capitalize on something here?
Let's see. Step Up is out on Blu-ray.
There it is. Yep.
I may check that out, honestly, just to see him dance more, because it was just enthralling.
Yeah. Not a lot of big releases this week, because it is 4th of July holiday, because there are big things at the movies. The studios are kind of holding back. But a lot of niche stuff, classic television.
Yeah, a bunch of TV stuff coming up. Like you were saying, like Streets of San Francisco.
Yeah.
There. And then Midsummer Murders, which is British.
Right, and George Gently, which Dave Johnson speaks very highly of, these British kind of crime dramas.
Yeah. Ooh, Mannix, seventh season.
Ooh. Mike
and XPI season 2.
And those are re-releases. I think those are repricings because those came out a long time ago.
So if you missed it before, now you can get it cheap.
Right. Okay. Now, hoping those kind of things will show up on streaming eventually, those kind of really classic television series.
Yeah, that's where they should be. That's how I'd watch it if it were.
Yeah.
I kind of steamroll through them.
All right. Well, as always, DVD Verdict benefits from you guys spending some time on these pages, so we appreciate your business, and Amazon does too if you're going to buy something. All right, switching over to streaming media, since it's the first of the month, Netflix has a metric ton of new stuff on tap, the two biggest of which arrive later in the week. The first on July 4th is Tarsem Singh's Immortals, which did not do all that well at the box office. So if you were curious about it and didn't want to pay the big ticket price to see it in 3D IMAX, you can catch it on Netflix this week. The other one is Conan, which is Jason Momoa's reboot of the classic franchise, that Schwarzenegger had established, at least in two pictures, and then Red Sonja. I enjoyed it. It wasn't everything that I was expecting it could have been, given kind of Momoa's presence in other shows that we've seen him in, like Game of Thrones and Stargate Atlantis. But I know part of that story, part of that is storytelling. Part of it is Stephen Lang's villain, which wasn't all that thrilling. I mean, there just wasn't anything to it that we hadn't seen before. So if they do another one, I hope they do it better. Moving on, we've got Syriana, which is George Clooney and Matt Damon's Middle East political drama. Terry Gilliam's 12 Monkeys, which is just a fantastic film, this kind of post-apocalyptic time travel mindfuck with Bruce Willis and Brad Pitt. The Coen brothers, one of their earliest films, Raising Arizona, with Nicolas Cage and John Goodman and Holly Hunter. Once Upon a Time in the West, which is one of Sergio Leone's most poetic films and probably arguably one of the finest spaghetti westerns that the genre had to offer. Sleeper, which is Woody Allen's dystopian comedy, and probably one of his most bizarrely hilarious films. If you have not seen it, you definitely have to check it out to see what classic Woody was like, both in front of and behind the camera. Don't Look Now, which is a review I wrote a long time ago, and it's probably one of the most maligned pieces I've ever written. It's Nicholas Roeg's Italian horror story starring Julie Christie and Donald Sutherland. Very moody, very artistic, very crappy. I did not like this movie one bit, and people have a passion with telling me how wrong I am. So check it out for yourself. Read my review and tell me if I was way off base. Maybe I saw it at a time when, I don't know, I just didn't like it. Two other ones really quick. Bad News Bears, which is one of my favorite sports movies of all time. Walter Matthau, Tatum O'Neill, a very young Jackie Earle Haley. It's just this quintessential summer comedy. And Matthau doing what Matthau does best. Seriously. And then we have Red Dawn. So Patrick Swayze and C. Thomas Howell save the country from a Soviet invasion. This is 80s teen action adventure at its finest. You don't find more cheese than you will find right here. Switching over to Hulu, we've got some B-movie stuff. 60s B-movies fans get to see Iga. It's a prehistoric monster who falls in love with a teenage girl. I'm not making this crap up. And then the monster gets pissed off when the girl doesn't love him back. It's so weird. Check it out. 40s B-movies fans get The Monster Maker, which stars Glenn Strange as one of the monsters. He actually kind of became famous for taking over the Frankenstein role from Karloff in the later Universal Pictures, starting with Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein. But it's kind of an Island of Dr. Moreau type of thing, where there's this mad scientist who's just injecting random people with his monster virus and turning them into beasts. Yeah. A couple other things. Feedback, which is a Jimi Hendrix documentary, which I myself want to see because Jimi was just this fascinating guy who was taken from this earth way too soon. And then the other one's called An Alan Smithy Film, which is kind of Joe Esterhaus's deconstruction of the modern Hollywood studio system and how they invariably just fuck up every picture they fund. And then over at Amazon Instant, if you are an Amazon Prime customer especially, there's a bunch of stuff that you'll want to check out this week. TV series, it's all reality stuff. Take Home Chef, Say Yes to the Dress, Auction Kings, Whale Wars, Shark Week. I don't know. I am tapped out. I have no interest in reality TV. So those of you who love it, have at it. On the documentary front, or on the movie front, I should say, the documentary Forks Over Knives, which we've talked about before. Joe vs. the Volcano, which is a really cute Meg Ryan, Tom Hanks film. Species and in The Innkeepers, which are both kind of sci-fi horror related in the genre. So, all right, I've babbled on long enough. Melissa, take it away with television.
Yeah, so this week on TV, not much too exciting going on except Wednesday for the 4th of July. If you don't want to go out in this insane heat and watch some fireworks, you can stay home. Comfort of your house. And CBS has the Boston Pops Fireworks Spectacular. NBC has Macy's 4th of July Fireworks Spectacular. It's obviously very spectacular this year. And then PBS always has a Capital Four, which will have the fireworks, but will have music and readings and all kinds of cool stuff. Music this week, there are a few kind of interesting. Asia from the 80s. Asia?
Oh, really?
Yeah. New album, Triple X. Or XXX, I don't know. I didn't look it up that much.
Yeah.
And then for you youngins, Flo Rida has a new one called Wild Ones. Mm. And it is soundtrack week. The Amazing Spider-Man, which is James Horner. And then Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, which is Henry Jackman. How was the music in that one?
It was good. I wouldn't say it was incredibly memorable, but it was decent. The Avengers soundtrack, on the other hand, which was Alan Silvestri, I absolutely loved.
Okay. All right. Books this week. Usually I mention books because I think you might be interested and want to go read them. There's actually one this week I'm asking you not to go read.
Uh-oh.
Jose Baez, Presumed Guilty, Casey Anthony, The Inside Story.
Oh, that's boy.
So he's now writing a book and profiting. His death. So that's just excellent. So let's avoid that one, people. And then it has begun, the 50 Shades knockoffs. There's Self Interview by Ronnie Lauren, and the tag is, her first love returned, and he's brought a friend. And then there's Hot in Handcuffs, which is, quote, three novellas of sexual capture.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so that's all going to be the latest coming out. Thanks so much to 50 Shades. Okay. Well, I'm going to combine my earlier stuff with my theater news.
Yes.
And Magic Mike may be coming to Broadway. The co-producer and the writer, Reed Carlin, has stated that he and Channing Tatum are planning it to bring it to Broadway. And he said that they're working on it as a Broadway show, which would be different story and like more of a romp, more like fun night out
okay.
girls kind of stuff. So all of you going to the movie just to see sexy men are going to have to wait till it comes to Broadway.
Well, you can't actually see a sexy man every night on TV because Anderson Cooper just came out of the closet. Not that this is a big surprise to anybody. I mean, all you have to do is spend some time watching him together with Kathy Griffin on any one of the specials that they do together at New Year's Eve or him on her show or her on his show, whatever. Anyways, in a letter to blogger Andrew Sullivan of the Daily Beast, Cooper confirmed that, yes, he is gay, has been gay, and always will be gay. But what I liked what he said was, in a perfect world, it wouldn't be anybody's business. But he sees there's value right now in standing up and being counted. So, you know, kudos to him, because the gay community needs strong role models and people who aren't afraid to step up and, you know, say, this is who I am. You know, and it doesn't matter. You know, it shouldn't matter to you. It shouldn't matter to anybody else. And this is who I am. So, kudos to him. And speaking of... controversy in the gay community. So you've got the John Travolta scandal going on, and Scientology get hit with another scandal this week as Katie Holmes files for divorce in New York from Tom Cruise, who has long been rumored to be gay, but, you know, Scientology has this way of keeping everything under wraps, and I'm sure his PR people have done an exceptional job of making sure that Tom's image stays the way it is so that he can make the films and be the, you know, the action stud that he wants to be. But, you know, that only goes so far. So after 5, going on 6 years, Katie said, this is enough. I mean, this, again, shouldn't be a surprise. She's been living in New York. He's been living in L.A. They have not been seen together in quite some time. And, you know, he made a very public display of himself when he wanted to get together with Katie in the first place. This is after his divorce from Nicole Kidman. And it was this whirlwind romance. I think she got caught up, and this is the speculation. I think she got caught up in everything that was going on and, you know, being with Tom Cruise. And then you realize, you know, reality sets in, and you're like, well, maybe not, because he's known to be a very controlling guy. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. And again, it's none of our business. But the fact is, they're splitting up, and they're going to have a very ugly custody battle on their hands because Katie is seeking for seeking complete custody of their daughter, Suri. So, and I think she's going to stay in New York. And, yeah, keep an eye on TMZ, because this one is not going to be pretty. And if it's any indication of Tom protecting his image, I have a feeling they are really going to just cut her to shreds in all sorts of ugly and disgusting ways. So, unfortunately. Speaking of ugly and disgusting, Charlie Sheen's new cable series, Anchor Management, set ratings records with its premiere, drawing more than 5.4 million viewers to see Charlie rip his old show 2.5 men in a not-so-veiled opening monologue. So the tit-for-tat between Charlie and Chuck Lorre continues. But, you know, we'll see. The ratings aren't going to last on this thing. People are going to, you know, get bored and drop off in droves, so... I'm not expecting anything big there. Strange but true, if you missed BronyCon this weekend in New York City, you might want to sit down for this story. There's more than 4,000 people who turned out for this convention, this weekend convention, many of whom were adult males, to celebrate the glory of My Little Pony. Yes, the 80s toy that spawned a TV series, which has now spawned a new TV series called My Little Pony Friendship is Magic. And I know my 6-year-old niece is addicted to the show like a crackle. It's a terrible, terrible thing to say, but it's true. She watches that thing all the time, and she's a zombie when she's watching it. But apparently it's a big thing with college males, you know, aged 18 to 30 or whatever. So hey, you know, whatever turns you on, it's a new and rapidly growing subculture thanks to the internet. And as one college student said, there's no shame in being a brony. Apparently not. And apparently there's no shame in being a furry either, which is another subculture who is petitioning Seth MacFarlane, whose new movie Ted opened last weekend, to make his foul-mouthed teddy bear kind of the poster child or icon for their subculture. If you don't know, furries are folks who get together and dress up in these giant plush costumes, you know, like you see at amusement parks, whether it be Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, or Bugs Bunny, or any types of those things. Part of it's just for the enjoyment of, I guess, getting dressed and becoming something other than yourself. And then there's another part of the subculture which has more romantic leanings towards that. So, but you know, but if you speak to people who say, no, that's just a very small portion of our, of, you know, this community, we're just all about, you know, creating costumes and having fun. So, whatever. Apparently, Seth hasn't responded to these requests, but knowing him and his subversive nature, I wouldn't be surprised if he said, yeah, sure, go right ahead. So, anyways, that's all for news.
Okay, Kardashian news this week. Lamar Odom, back to L.A. See ya, Dallas. He has been picked up by the Clippers. Not the Lakers, the Clippers. So, that I'm sure they'll be happy to be heading back to California, but it'll be interesting. It's still a different team.
And Chris Jenner says she had nothing to do with that. She did not broker that deal. That was his own agent.
Absolutely. Whatever. Who cares? And then quick, Courtney is about to pop. By the time you hear this, she may have already, but she was all set for a natural water birth.
Yeah.
And then I guess a friend of hers had one and she went and observed it and then said, oh, hell's nose. Jeez. I am going to go get drugged up at the hospital.
It's all good in theory, but when it comes down to practice.
Yep.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you guys for tuning in this week. We, as always, we appreciate you spending some time with us. We'll be back next week. Until then, Melissa, take it away.
Goodbye, Earl. We need a break. Let's go out to the lake, Earl. We'll pack a lunch and stuff you in the trunk.